Hello and welcome to the Navy Blue Corner. I'm Ian, joined as always by my good mate Lockie. And the Blues have emphatically bounced back after a week off where everyone was worried they're going to be sluggish, it's going to be a slow start, danger game. Don't worry about that, Lockie, because Carlton have defeated North to the tune of 56 points. Now, where those are watching live on Blue Abroad will notice that we're in the same room again, which yes. Doesn't happen often. So I'm very keen to know the energy in the room, see how things are feeling, get your reaction straight away. And the big thing I want to kick this off with, Lockie, is, look, we've had six games basically in a row where all of our six wins, we have just scraped through. It's been a close one. The heart's been pounding. Six wins, six or under points. We finally had a game, 56 points victors. You can sit back and really relax watching this one. So how did it feel knowing that you weren't having to be stressed for the whole game and the victory was really sewn up at quarter time?
I certainly manifested that. I was thinking about it all week. I was like, I don't know how I'm going to cope with a close one against a team like North Melbourne after everything that we've been through in the last six games. But yeah, there just wasn't a single moment in this game for me where I felt like we didn't have it in our control, which felt so damn good. And it just felt so good being able to enjoy that fourth quarter with some, you know, nice goals to blokes that hadn't kicked goals before and like be able to savor those things was really good.
Yeah, it's the big talking point. So we'll start off with, I guess, Navy Noise, which is the segment we love to start off with every single week. It's where we discuss the biggest news stories, the biggest themes and narratives basically throughout the week. And I think the big one, you basically touched on it there, was the professional maturity around that performance, which I think a lot of that talk going in and maybe we're never going to get past this, maybe it'll happen off the back of a win like this, has really been that danger game, being worried about Carlton of the past. We normally lose these games or we struggle in them. And maybe even when you're looking at recent history, Richmond, we all went in really confident thinking, Richmond, they're not the team of previous years. They're not that grand final winning team. We're now the contender. And we're just going to start beating teams by a big margin, fending them off by two or three goals throughout the whole contest. That was the worry that this maybe wasn't going to happen again. Yeah. We're all very confident. Obviously happened against North. You didn't feel nervous at all. But we were, I mean, going to those first couple of seconds in the game, they kicked the first couple. Were you nervous at all?
I really wasn't. Well, I mean, we spoke about it on last week's show that the danger felt there coming off the bye and teams coming, you know, starting a game slowly. That felt like the big danger. So I think even part of me was kind of anticipating that. It was like, I'm not going to be surprised if they get the jump on us here. They've done that in the other couple of games they've played, so I'm not going to be worried. But even the way they got those goals, I don't know about you. We watched, I was at the ground, you watched on the TV, so we saw it very differently. But even the way that they got those goals, I just didn't feel like they were convincing anyway. If they were more convincing goals, maybe I'd be like, oh, okay. But they were kind of like individual poor efforts on our part that led to them.
Yeah, no, I agree. I think that I was never personally worried because I believe in us so much more now. I think we're a better team. Yeah. And the one of those really things I was keeping in front of mind heading into that game was knowing that this is North's grand final. And I know that that's such like an insulting thing that people have said to us, but we know that they're not a great team right now. They're rebuilding. We've been through that.
Yeah.
And this is their big occasion. It's that Good Friday game that they are one of the main creators of it. Mm-hmm. We've finally been able to be a part of such a big occasion.
Yep.
There's such a build-up towards it. It's not your regular game of football where the siren starts and that's it. There's a massive build-up all week.
Agreed.
So you knew that they were going to come out massively at the start of this game. Young team, young and hungry. But I didn't necessarily see that. I mean, I know they get those early goals and a few kind of through free kicks, but it was pretty even. And I really believe that we were going to wrestle that control back quickly. And if you look at the quarter time, by the end of it, 27 tackles we made that quarter. The pressure was there from us.
Mm-hmm.
It just felt inevitable that we were going to continue that dominance and that North just weren't going to be able to go with us.
How good is this pressure? It was relentless the entire game. It doesn't feel like we could lose a game when we're applying pressure like that. And it was so spread across the board too. Like the usual suspects were doing it, but it felt like everyone is buying into it. it doesn't feel like we can lose when we play like that defensively.
Yeah. So I guess how did you feel about that performance in that maturity and professional win? Because that's the thing that we probably haven't been able to accomplish for a while. And no one's getting ahead of themselves. No one's thinking we've beaten North Melbourne, so we're flag contenders. We're going to be the best team in the competition. I think the biggest challenges are coming up in that next month. We've got a really big couple of teams that we will be versing. But to not make this a scrap, for us to just keep them at arm's length for the whole entirety of that contest, what did you make of that, and how are you seeing that going forwards now as a Carlton supporter? Are you a lot more calm around these fixtures? Where are you sort of seeing things? 3-0, things are looking good. What did you make of the maturity of that win?
It's a good question. I think you're right. We probably would be looking at this game differently if it was a 1 or 2 goal win. Maybe then it would kind of frame up this next month a bit differently. So it is great that we were able to have them at arm's length for most of the game and then kind of keep, you know, we didn't let them back in the fourth quarter, make it more respectable, that kind of thing. It's interesting reflecting, like, even just after the Richmond game, how we kind of went into that feeling like it could be a big win and it wasn't. I don't know if you can ask for much better than what we had against North in this game. Like, beating a team by more than 10 goals, that's that doesn't happen that often, even though we expect North to be a pretty low team. Like, I can't remember the exact, is it 21 goals, something like that, that we kicked? Ooh, like, that is
exact stats right now, putting me under the pump.
And while you pull it up, like, that for us, like, being able to put that much offensive pressure on, that was a big thing for me, where it's like, it seems like a lot of these close wins, both teams are not scoring a whole bunch. This was a game where it showed that we can put a big score in if we need to.
21 goals, 11.
That's a lot for us.
Big. I think it is, and that has shown the difference. I think even in a season, last year we had those big wins against a team like West Coast, but I think North Melbourne are better, and I think they're going to be a bit more organised. And it's just, there was so much in that performance that was positive, and it was across the board. I think defensively, just to touch on it, Wiedering back, we looked so much better.
So
with
much
him
better.
Down there, we looked more organised. We rebound better.
Everyone
movement
better.
Through the corridor was still there. Finally, the midfield stepped up and we got a bit more of that clearance domination, which was a bit of a worry heading in. Really, North Melbourne's strength is their midfield. It's probably the best part of their game when you look at the players they have out there. That was probably the worry, knowing that it was an issue for us. Our scores from stoppages and clearances weren't amazing. We'd found a new way through, I think, transition, which was still there enough turnover in this game. But we had those extra layers. The key forwards were scoring goals. The smalls were kicking them. The high half forwards seemed to function better. And even in saying all these amazing things, I still felt as if we were, you know, 50, 60%. There was still so much room for improvement.
100%.
And to give that performance after a bye, after a week off, when a lot can maybe afford you a slow start, I don't think we had that. It felt like a pretty consistent four-quarter performance. And to know that there's still such room for us to improve in almost every aspect, even though we were so amazing, it's just really good. And I can't wait to see how we perform against these better opposition in the coming weeks to really test ourselves.
Yeah, it's a really good point. I completely agree. I don't know if that's the opposite of what I was saying, where I said, you know, you can't expect much more than this. But yeah, like a 10-goal win, where I agree with you, there were still so many areas where, we could improve. Like, it's a super positive feeling for us right now.
Yeah. So I guess a really open-ended question, this one. Did you have any other, key takeaways from this game? And I mean, if you're watching this right now on the Blue Abroad YouTube channel, chuck your thoughts to everything. What did you take out of this game? Because I think that's the hardest thing from beating such a lower opposition. Everyone expects them to be bottom four. What did you take out of this game heading into the rest of the season? What were your key takeaways? Chuck them in the comments below.
Yes.
If you're listening in podcast form, head over to the socials at Navy Blue Corner. Links are in the description. Links in the show notes. Easiest way is to head over there. Tweet at us. Send us a DM. Always keen to get your thoughts. But Lockie, what were your kind of key takeaways?
Well, I'm going to kind of push this one back to you a bit to see your thoughts, because in games like this, I often get caught up in looking ahead.
Yeah.
And often when doing that, personnel is like a topic of conversation. You know, and watching this game and then having kind of look at the stats back afterwards, I really felt like pretty much everyone did what we are asking for from them in this game. I'm keen to hear if you disagree on that. Like, it was, I kind of felt like you said, like the Smalls were hitting the scoreboard, applying the pressure. That's what we want from them. That we're not expecting always to have 15 touches in a game. Like, he did his job. The Talls did their jobs. I felt like the back line all did their role. So it's kind of interesting looking forward at, you know, just we're just in such a great situation right now. I feel like where there's a number of guys that you could argue to come back into this team. And I could also argue to you that if Marchbank hadn't gotten injured, that there wouldn't be changes.
It's tough. I mean, I want to discuss him at some stage, but like the inclusion of a guy like Elijah Hollins, he was tremendous and a bit of a slow start, a little bit fumbly, kind of took a while for him to find his feet, but eventually he just sort of improved every quarter. And
yes,
it is hard to know how much to take out of, in particular, that last quarter when you are facing a younger team because they dropped off so much. And everyone was starting to get a goal. Fantasia got on there. Hollins kicks his first goal for Carlton. But I think that the individual performances were something that I was really, really happy with. Harry, again, absolutely dominated and just proved he's proving everyone wrong every single game, getting way more consistent around the ground, looked great in the ruck. I loved Cripps' performance. I loved Hewitt. Chera stepped up and played a better game as well in midfield. There's maybe one or two that probably weren't amazing. Like Cottrell, I think, hasn't started the season amazingly. It is tough.
Agreed. And
his role in that sort of high half forward, it's challenged him. I think Ollie Hollins, maybe Zach Williams were slightly down, but you're really nitpicking in that. And I don't want to just single them out and be like, these guys weren't amazing and their job's up for someone else to try and take it now, because you never know exactly what their role was and what was necessarily asked of them. And sometimes there's just going to be one or two players that aren't getting that, you know, 10, 12 disposals and being able to really affect the contest. Maybe they're playing a bit more of a defensive role and allowing others to perform. So, I mean, it is really tough. I think the big takeaway for me was just that professional, mature performance and seeing a few of those individuals like an Elijah Hollins be able to come in and show that he maybe is a step up from maybe a guy like Cunningham and what we've been able to see.
Absolutely.
I think he was just in the game a little bit more than, I think, Cunningham. He always kind of drips out of games. How did you, I guess, see Elijah Hollins, and was there any kind of key performances from individuals that you'd like to highlight?
Yeah, he's definitely the one that I would be highlighting. Like, he's locked in for me, doing exactly what we need from that player, which is, I guess, the kind of the point I was trying to make with this is that I felt like, you know, if you look at those key roles that we're looking for across the field, I feel like each player kind of did what we're asking for them in this one. Yeah, he is fantastic. And I only think he's going to get better than this too. I agree with you. His progression throughout the game was obvious. I could literally name almost any player on this team and say how. Well, what? Here's a random stand back question, because I was thinking about this earlier with Harry. Would you say that he's in career best form at the moment?
I would say so. I would say that not just because the goals, and I think that that's a massive thing, but firstly, he just body language wise looks more confident than he's ever been. Even in his Coleman medal winning year, there was aspects of his game where he would win the football and he didn't look as assured in himself.
Definitely.
There was still errors here and there, but I just can't fault any part in his game. Marking is amazing. Working up the ground is there. Field kicking is great.
Tackling.
Pressure around the stoppages, his ruck craft is still really good. And what he's able to do when the ball hits the ground is massive. And I had sort of thrown out that maybe this game against North was one I wanted to see Pitternet back in there.
Yep.
And it wasn't something I was, you know, die on a hill. I need to see Pitternet in this team. It was just, maybe let's try it. Midfield's down a little bit. We've seen Harry and De Koning. I just want to see what Pitternet's like at the moment. But, I mean, that's one of those things. The more I keep seeing De Koning and Harry, it's getting harder and harder to say we need to see Big Brad in there. Because everything we're offering from Harry when the ball hits the ground. We're not going to get that from a pit in it. And I think on the flip side of that, it's everything else that we're able to get. Does a Hollands type player, are we allowed to get one extra because we're not having to play two rucks and hide them somewhere else on the ground?
Makes
and it's that trade-off that just feels like we've got the right mix at the moment.
Mm.
I think off that, is there any aspect of the team right now, positionally or maybe personnel-wise, that you're thinking, because there's still obviously room to grow, that's the obvious area of improvement, that if this steps up 5, 10, 20%, that's going to be the big area that needs the improvement right now?
No, I don't think I actually have that right now. It felt to me like the small forwards before this game. Mm. And I don't know, I've been going back and forth with the small forwards. Like, a lot of those goals were very like right time, right place. But also that's so much about what being a small forward is.
Yeah.
The reason I asked you about the Harry career best form question is, and this is putting you on the spot, is there another, do you think there's another player in the team that's in career best form?
That is a big question.
Because I don't know that there is.
No, I think Charlie's been better. Cripps is probably not career best form, but he's incredibly under the radar in his kind of performances at the moment. I think he's changed his game to what the Cripps that we maybe come to expect. So I don't think he's going to draw the plaudits from the mainstream media and the narrative. And guys watching are probably going to say, gee, Cripps is pretty quiet at the moment because he's not bursting through packs every single time and having to do those flashy things. It feels very, and maybe it's not the right analogy, but that Trent Cotchin, Joel Selwood-esque, when they needed to maybe drop off their game 5-10% to do the smart little things to allow everyone else to play better football.
Sure.
And when you're really watching his game, I think he's incredibly influential.
Absolutely is.
Career best form?
The reason I say it is because I think there's possibility that almost every other player can be better.
Yeah.
And has been better in the past. And I mean that in a very positive way.
I would say maybe the only other person who's at his level as far as playing at their best is probably Lachie Fogarty.
Oh, yeah. Good one.
He's just playing some incredible football. And really, I'm interested to know when that mainstream narrative is going to turn on a guy like him. And if they'll ever pick up on just how important he is to that forward line, because I think my area that I still think is that easy change, not easy change, but if we get improvement from them, we're going to be even better, is still that rest of the forward line. But Fogarty is becoming such that important cog where he's that main one right now that, apart from Harry and Charlie, is in there every single week. Everyone else, I can continue to make an argument that they can switch around.
Sure, sure.
Like Hollands, if you're classifying him as that half forward.
Yeah, I would.
Is closer to a lock, even if it's just one game.
Yep.
Small sample size, I know. But yeah, I just love everything I see from Fogarty.
Yeah,
matching
that
forward pressure and allowing others to really play better football. But yeah, I think the smalls, they got their goals this week. But I think everything else around it maybe wasn't amazing. But I don't know. This is a weird question that I'm kind of thinking about, trying to reflect on the game and what we've maybe seen from not only the last couple of weeks, but maybe even last season. Is this just what Carlton will be, where we're not going to be that team that has the smalls kicking heaps of goals and being those consistent performers and the mainstays of the team because of the way we play, the directness, and having two amazing key forwards? Is it just going to be a blend of whoever's there at the time is just going to feed on whatever scraps are there?
That's what I'm wondering too. Like, I'm wondering what more, like, if the best small forward in the comp played in our team on the weekend, what more would we have expected from them? Like, 6 goals between the three of them. Between Fantasia, Durden, and Owies. It's so hard to, like, what else do you want to quantify them on? Because it's so much about taking their moments, which they all did pretty much. I don't know. What do you think?
I think there's, I don't know. I don't know exactly what it will take. I think if you do bring in, like, if we have that argument, say you bring Papley and you're obviously going to be a better team and he's going to offer so much more experience around things.
But if probably, if he's getting the ball, I would argue it probably means someone else isn't. Like I don't know whether we'd necessarily get more of the ball, like for example, because he's a higher disposal player. I don't know. I just don't know where, what exactly would, you know, where the dials would move.
I think it's probably going to be in that more mid-sized forward, that Jack Martin-esque role where we're still maybe lacking one of those smalls to be a bit more of the marking target inside 50 and creating that opportunities that way. Most of our smalls tend to be a little bit more opportunistic rather than making that forward line their own.
Sure.
And I think that's probably still that growth area, whereas if we can get another target in there, that can potentially still help the likes of Charlie and Harry even take their game to the next level because it's not just straight away to them every single time. But, I mean, it's such an interesting discussion and one I think we're going to have all season.
Of course.
I'm not sure if we're going to have that one small forward step up and take the mantle piece and go, hey, I'm that 30, 40 goal a season small forward and one of the best in the competition. It really, the more I keep watching these games, seems it's just going to be whatever scraps you get from the from the key tools. It's just make the most of your opportunities. And as much as I want to see Jesse Motlop in this team, off everything I'm seeing in this game, it'd be stiff to drop those guys. Because, Durden was the one that wasn't amazing, didn't get a lot of the ball. But, gee, I don't know how many disposals he had. It wouldn't have been many. I'll try to get it up now because it – let me have a quick look. Yeah, yeah.
But he got his two goals.
Four disposals, but two goals.
Yeah.
So I don't know. Do you need to be doing more?
This is why I
What's your debate on that? Do you, if you're a small in this team right now and you're kicking two goals but touching the ball four times, is that enough?
Yeah. Like, that's exactly the point I'm trying to make. Like, if you look at this holistically and say, we just won by 10 goals.
Yeah.
This is the team we put out there and these are the roles everyone played. Like, The question I have back to you, I guess, is like, how would you feel about us only playing one guy in that role and bringing in like Cunningham, for example? So the forward line is packed more with like pseudo mids.
Yeah.
Like, I don't know whether that necessarily is what we want because, yeah, maybe Cunningham will get 10 touches more than Durden would, but is it actually best for us holistically? I don't know. I don't have a strong opinion on it.
I think we need the more potency in front of goal that I'm not sure those guys have. If Cunningham comes in, maybe he would be taking a more Cottrell-esque role, but I don't think he plays in the same way that a Cottrell does. And even though he's been down to start this season, I'm not sure there's many players in our team that offer what he can. Now that Doherty's not going to be there and we don't have that extra kind of wing rotation, that continual gut running, covering the ground as well as he does, tackle pressure, kicking goals. I don't know. I really think we're probably going to need two at least small forwards with Bogut in that team as well.
Yep.
Just going to be who that is. And I love that we were able to see Fantasia at least get a bit of confidence.
Yeah,
100%. He's going to need that because I liked him in the opening round against Brisbane.
Yep.
I don't think a lot of others seem to really like his game, but I thought his link-up play was really
me
good.
Me too.
It was really nothing exciting against Richmond. Now he's been able to get his hand on the football and kick that goal.
Yep.
Probably my only complaint with Fantasia is it seems whenever he gets the ball, he's looking to dish it off rather than take it, which is probably not what I've seen in the past.
Mm-hmm.
I think what I envision Fantasia is a bit more of that selfish, I've got the ball, I'm inside 50, I'm going to go for the glory, which is maybe what I'm wanting a bit more of that small forward when they're in the right position. But I think he's going to be better for the run, whether he plays next 100% week or not, who knows. But we're getting that experience, maybe experience isn't the right word, but he's a guy who hasn't played a lot of footy in the last few years. So for him to get that touch and get that confidence in his body and his ability, who knows, maybe that's the spark he needs to get back into the form of a few years ago.
I think that's a really good shout. I think that will be a confidence booster. I'm still super bullish on him if he stays healthy this season. He genuinely is still number one in the hierarchy for me. Like, I think if I'm thinking about where we could be at the end of the season, I think he's going to be picked every week is my feeling.
Yeah, I think his body's right. I agree. Last thing I kind of want to touch on in the Navy Noise segment is a theme that I gathered from this contest. Not sure how much you read into this. Part of that professional mature performance and the win was I really noticed a level of togetherness cohesion, chemistry, whatever you want to say, that is just such a contrast, not only to, I think, North Melbourne in particular, but the Carlton of 2 or 3 years ago. A big talking point on this podcast I remember a lot was, I guess, around that Liam Stocker. He kicks the goal. No one gets around him. Are these boys buying in? Do they like each other? Is there that camaraderie? Gee, I felt that more than ever in this game. And I'll highlight, I guess, a couple of examples of this. One's a little dumb in the, they really got around Elijah and Fantasia for their goals, but it was almost noticing, I can't remember which one of their goals it was, but I can't even remember the player. It might've been Cottrell, who just on the TV, it was really easy to see, but immediately got up to him and started waving across all the boys.
Oh, yeah,
get around him. Come on, boys. Like,
In
case you've forgotten, this is his first goal for us. And I think that just those little touches are just a big shift for us. And the other two that I really think, maybe I'm reading too much into it. Can you get your thoughts?
Okay.
And the viewers and listeners as well. But there was when Callum Coleman-Jones went down and no North player went over to him. But as he was about to get, you know, motorcaded off in the stretcher, about 5 or 6 Carlton players just went over. Now, I know that that's not to do with us, but there's a level of, if they're doing that for opposition, God knows what they'd do if, you know, one of our players goes down. And then there's that Wiedering incident where Larky has a go, which I want your thoughts on that whole incident as well. That's a big talking point. He tries his hardest to concuss another Carlton player in Mitch McGovern this time, and Wiedering immediately remonstrates, takes him down, and is that leader in the back line. Looks like we've got each other's backs. We're celebrating the moments.
Yep.
And we have that level of trust and belief in each other. Is this something that you're noticing as a bit of a trend this year, maybe more than you previously have? And how much, if so, is that going to impact how we play football going forward?
Yeah, I like that you've brought this up for sure. No doubt that it is improving and better than it has been in the past. I definitely think it's something that can always get better. So I'm excited. Like, I'll be, if we see it getting even better from here as the season goes on, wow, I'm going to be so happy because, yeah, these are the little things that watching the game I absolutely love. Out of the three kind of examples you mentioned, the Wiedering one for me rings the most true. Yeah. And it wasn't even just this incident, any kind of moment in this game where I felt like North were trying to be a bit tough, we showed that we were tougher and we were getting around each other in that way. There's a real rivalry, I guess, like growing between these two guys. Yeah. Like Wiedering just does not, just looks like he hates him. And it felt like he saw that opportunity as like, I hate you already and you've just gone and done this to Mitch. This is my fucking moment to be a leader. And also I was thinking about that, like, you know, you can put yourself inside his head of when he got injured in the preseason, watching Carlton play these first two games, sitting on the sideline, finally gets his moment and won't have an impact and get some aggression out. I loved it.
Yeah. No, and there is history because Souvlaki kicked a couple of goals on him, definitely kicked more on other players, but, you know, Cam Zerha loves to be a bit chirpy on, was it Facebook?
I think it was
literally Facebook comments.
Feels weird to say that, but it was.
It's just bizarre that players are genuinely commenting and tagging blokes in this day and age, even though it was a couple of years ago.
Yeah.
A big narrative on how is this guy, obviously he can't be all Australian because the Souv kicked a few goals. Then you have, you know, the Lewis Young incident a couple of years ago, Souvlaki tunnelling him.
Yep.
And now this year again, he does something really stupid.
Yeah, it was.
And it's just this fake bravado that you see from guys that I'm really proud that I think we haven't really seen that in anyone from Carlton do this in years. I can't think of a moment. Maybe there are a couple, but I feel like we've stamped that out where there's this fake tough, which has been in the media talking about, I guess, Essendon, you know, Papley bringing that up the other week. It doesn't feel like we're that anymore. We are real tough. And probably my one of my most pleasing aspects of what Wiedering does there when he is flying the flag for us, it's not stupid. He's not giving away a free kick, not putting himself in a position to. He lets Larky know that that's not on. Don't touch our boys. Don't do anything stupid here because we're going to be here and we're going to, you know, be actual tough guys.
Yeah.
And just does it in the smartest way possible. And if you're seeing your leader do that for you, it's going to make you feel like you can do anything in this team. And there's just little aspects that you're not going to notice as much where, you know, Wiedering has that trust and faith in his teammates where he can move up the ground and not have to be that key defender holding down the fort. He can go and attack the football because he knows someone's got his back.
Mm-hmm.
Boyd can push up the ground and do something attacking. In the forward line, they know guys are going to be in that right spot for the handball, for the tackle, which we haven't been able to see for a while. And again, I know it's North Melbourne, but we haven't done this against poorer opposition for a while. And so for us to lay these sort of ground marks now, we're going to be doing that in those bigger games and getting the confidence to know you can do it in these kind of contests. Just gives me the faith that we're building the trust. And yeah, we've got so much more room to improve.
We do.
Which is just baffling.
Oh, I have nothing to add to that. You nailed it. You nailed it.
Amazing. So let's jump into the Grill in the Corner segment. It's the listener questions. Now, I absolutely stuffed this up last week. I put the call out, as I always do, on the socials, on Twitter and Instagram, at Navy Blue Corner, if you want to stay up to date. Ask for the questions. Now, people may not know. Maybe they do. I'll try to take you behind the curtain. I am beholden to my run sheet. As much as some of it is off the cuff here, if the segment is not written down in front of me, it does not exist. I'll put my hand up. I forgot to write it down and carry that over. So in my head last week, we nailed it. We did the Navy noise.
Yep.
We were in there for the under the pump. We previewed the next game. Everything was sweet. Turns out I forgot the listener question. So that means that I'm hoping that the listeners this week came out in droves, because if I forget, I hope that the people don't think, oh, we're not answering the questions. It doesn't matter. I'm not going to enter them. I want them to come back harder.
Mm-hmm.
This segment has become Grill in the Corner. It's the hot seat. No fence sitting from us.
Toughest
questions. We have to give a straight answer. Hopefully, the listeners have come out in full voice this week. What have they got, Lockie, for us?
And they have come out in voice. They noticed. They noticed that we skipped this, and they've upped the ante. Good. So, are they going to be spicy? Time will tell.
We'll see.
I am going to start with this one from Ewan Morton. Of our non-marquee players, who is having the best positive effect on the team so far in 2024? Non-marquees? Yeah. You can take that as you like. I already know who I think you're going to say, but go ahead.
It's Lockie Fogarty. Yeah. Easy. I think you were talking about that sort of career best form and who's really stood up above what they've previously shown. And right now he is that guy. Him and Harry are clearly the two. Apart from those guys, it's really tough. I think everyone's playing at a decent level, but I mean, what Fogarty is bringing in every part, how many times I'm just impressed with his tackling.
You should have
got nowhere near that, and he has. So I think he's really the obvious answer. I'm not sure if I have another. Do you have anyone else that you've kind of really noticed has stood up and is offering a little bit more than we maybe have seen in previous years?
Probably not. That's why I kind of asked that career best form question. Like you can run through guys where it's like, you know, Nui and Sardi, for example, you're happy with what they're giving us, but this isn't their best. They can be doing more than they're doing right now. You can say that for pretty much anyone. So I think Fog's a good answer to this question.
I think just to touch on a couple of others, I think someone that I tend to underrate, I would say, I think I'm a really harsh critic when it comes to this guy, and that's Matt Kennedy. And he's been put in a bit of a tougher role in the mid-size forward, somewhat pinch hitting in the midfield, which I just don't think is his role. And it's not doing him justice for the player that I think he is. But this week, when he was thrust into the midfield, I was incredibly impressed. I thought that he really stood up when our midfield needed something from previous weeks. I was really impressed with his ball-winning ability, his burst away. That was a component that I maybe haven't seen as much of, and I was super, supremely confident when he won the ball that something good was going to go off the back of it. And because I probably don't give him the plaudits, I think that he's someone that deserves it. And then really it's Jack Carroll, who just continues to go to strength from strength to strength. Feels like his position was the one that was maybe a big threat with Walshy eventually, hopefully coming back in the next month or so. going to be tough because he has come from, I don't know when he's going to get an opportunity and if he maybe even deserves one off the VFL form of last year to, man, this guy offers something incredibly different. He's kicking goals every week. And whether he should be the first one out of this team or not, I just want to keep seeing him play football. Mm. I really like what I'm seeing from Jack Carroll.
Absolutely.
And he's another one that out of the non-marquee players, it just keeps impressing me week to week.
Perfect segue into this question from Thomas underscore Bekele. Who is next to break through to the team?
Are you saying who's not currently in the 22? Is that how?
That's I'm how I'm that interpreting question? It from Thomas.
That's tough. That really is tough. I mean, the obvious answer there is Jesse Butler.
Mm-hmm.
Not in the 22 currently, and I think his place is definitely there. I'm probably going to say it's Ashton Moyer.
I was going to ask, do you think we're likely to see him or Binns first?
It's tough. I'll put my hand up straight away and say I did not see the VFL game.
No, neither.
I didn't see anything of it. So me commenting on the form at the moment is tough, and I'm not going to act as if I know what's going on. But I think positional-wise and role in the squad, it's so easy to plug Ashton Moyer into this.
Mm.
There's not going to be a lot of pressure. The forward line's functioning quite well. So to plug him in would be fine. And he currently offers something different than others. He's that more Jack Martin marking style, can make something happen out of nothing.
Yep.
I think that third forward that I think Kennedy is playing, that forward half we're not getting from him right now. So there's scope for, I think, Moyer to come into that. And I think throughout the season, we're going to see that. I'd say he'll come in before Binns just because the forward line's more open.
Mm.
But I am at the stage of this Carlton team where not only am I so happy for us to just not have any changes and not see anyone new come in, I, on top of that, with this Carlton team, I don't know what needs to happen with it. Just keep it as is, because I think last season and seasons prior, every time there was team changes, that was the big media meltdown. That was the, oh my God, this guy should be playing. I just don't care. I might think that, oh, this guy should probably play this week. I want to see Jesse Motlop. Whatever team Vossi and co put out there as the match committee, I have full faith that that's the best option.
Yeah.
And as much as I may think that we have a better option or I'm worried about a certain matchup, I'm just so not fazed anymore, which is interesting because I think that was somewhere that I had such strong opinions on, but my faith in the Carlton hierarchy right now is so high that I don't need any changes. Whatever changes you want to make, go for it. You've proven that whatever decisions you make are the best. What do you have any take on the team at this moment? Because it's something we always comment on, that who comes in, who needs to break in. Are you fussed at all about the team selection? And have you made any grievances about non-selections or selections? Because I think one of them has kind of been the Marchbank selection this week and Kempe. Thoughts?
Our favorite question. Well, it segues perfectly into this one, so I'll read it out now from our good mate Darren Hodge, who said, I thought Kemp was stiff to be dropped for Marchbank, who had no preseason. Do you think Marchie will have to go through the twos when he's available next and find some form before playing seniors? He struggled a lot on Friday. And so to answer your question with Darren's in mind, I was definitely like, it took me half an hour after the team selection to digest it and I guess regain that sense that you have said. Yeah, because while I was looking at through that lens, which I like to think that I pretty much always do, of I don't know fucking anything. These guys know everything.
Yeah.
There's a reason for everything. It was shocking.
Yeah.
And I think maybe I'm higher on Kemp than you potentially. Yes,
I would say that. We've talked about this in the off season that that was probably the biggest sticking point and argument we were having in the depth chart was I have Marchbank above Kemp, you have Kemp above Marchbank.
Yeah.
It's close for me. I would say
it's close.
It's less close for you, but it's still not a drastic. It's not a Matt Carroll anyone else. Not to throw him under the bus, but he's an 18-year-old that needs time to develop.
Yeah.
We're not expecting him to come in and be Adam Saad all of a sudden. Like, there's correct. A bit of a gap there, whereas these two, it's closer. And I was definitely shocked. There was no part of me that was ever thinking Marchbank would come back.
No, that's why I was so shocked.
And part of me, this is where we need actual journalists to ask questions in the press conference. Because my first question would have just been, I'm just keen to know, look, Vossi, I think Kemp was maybe a bit stiff. He's played some good football.
Where was this question?
Marchie, obviously, we know his injury history. Probably started a bit slow, gave away some free kicks.
Yeah.
Unfortunate to have the concussion later in the game. Take that out of the equation. But what was the thinking behind Marchbank and his inclusion? Is there something that Kemp isn't doing that you believe Marchbank is?
Great question.
Wouldn't that
be fucking good?
You don't get that from these nuffies. And I don't know why. Is it just that they don't?
Harry's been playing good, huh? Vossi, thoughts?
You kicked a few goals today, boys. Were you happy with that performance? That's what you get. You don't get in-depth questioning. And I think it's clear, judging by the final series last year and this selection, that for whatever role they're seeing,
they
have Marchbank above Kemp.
I agree.
There is something that Kemp isn't offering that they clearly back Marchbank in. And they don't think that Marchbank needs match touch, match fitness. What he does on the training track, and if his body is good to go, according to the medical staff and their standards, then he's good.
Yep.
That's their belief. I back that in because I don't know what else to... I don't know if I can necessarily disagree with that.
Mm.
But, yeah, not the move I would have made. And I think early on it was pretty easy to say, gee, Kemi just doesn't have to play and he's looking unreal because Marchbank looked slow, built into the game.
Yeah.
It's an easy change this week. I think Kempy comes straight in for Marchie with the concussion. It's so interesting. I don't know if I have an answer on why they believe Marchbank deserved to come straight in. And I wonder what message it does send to be that really negative view on it, where you've got a guy that from the outside looked to have done everything he possibly could, was taking amazing intercept marks, was looking to move the ball, made a few mistakes, but who doesn't? I know. I like that the mistakes were, they were attempting to do the right thing. He was trying to take the game on, look for that quick handball, look for that quick kick. Execution wasn't there. It probably wasn't the right time to do it, but I couldn't have faulted Kempy. And
I feel so much better about the mistakes he makes to the ones that Marchbank makes. Because I feel like the ball use mistakes Marchbank makes are like the simple things, the safe things, and then mucks it up. And I'm like, I don't know. I don't know why I'm I feel like there's something I'm missing with Marchbank. He's just not exciting me at the moment.
And that's the thing I'd love someone to ask. Like, was it more of a matchup thing?
That was my assumption.
Did we want taller players there to intercept? Is that how we want to structure up? Do we prefer having three taller players that are a bit stronger than a Kemp because you can float them around and you can allow Gov to get off the chain more? Is that what they're wanting? Do they not want Gov to be that more lockdown? Whereas when Kemp plays, Gov maybe has to be a bit more defensive. I'm not sure. I really...
Yeah, there could be something in that.
I don't have answers. I maybe need to watch the game back a few more times to analyze things and maybe I'll be able to see more at the ground as well. We're not going to see it this week because Marchbank has that concussion, but it is stiff. I thought it was, for someone who's more pro Marchbank than Kemp currently, I thought it was a bizarre change. But I think we're in that position where obviously that is their preferred three. It'll be interesting to see what happens when Marchbank comes back from the concussion.
I will now go back to the original question. I'm going to challenge you on it.
Go for it.
Because you said that, and correct me, I don't want to paraphrase you incorrectly, but you basically said that how I see it, that whatever changes we see this week, you're going to look at it with the lens of, hey, the club knows what they're doing with this. There's probably some logic here. I don't think that's necessarily true for what changes we could see. Because sometimes we just see changes where it's like say they drop Carroll this week.
Yeah.
I don't know.
Well, I mean, there's obviously a reason why they would make these changes.
Yeah.
The issue is no one asked the question, and I don't know if that actually give you the proper reason.
I would love that.
That I think if I'm trying to make the argument for why he was chosen over Kemp, I think it was just they believe he's better than Kemp. They want their best team out there.
Yeah.
And there must be something that Kemp is doing week in, week out that they are asking him to do that he isn't doing. And that's probably the, because the person that I'm probably spotlighting at the moment is that I don't know exactly what you're doing. And I'm happy to put my hand up because I have to give a shout out to Heath Buck. I was listening to his match review, My Blue Heaven, and he was talking about Matty Cottrell. And he was saying himself, he needs to watch him a lot more because there's obviously something. He doesn't get a lot, hasn't got a lot of touches recently, doesn't seem to be influencing the contest and doing a lot. But he seems to be keeping his spot and they seem to love what he brings. Right now, I'm not seeing it. And he, as soon as he was saying it, I was like, this is everything I'm thinking right now. Yeah,
totally.
I think that's obviously a component to the Marchbanks selection. I don't agree with it. I also think that you got to reward the form of the players that are out there. But, I mean, Kempe now gets that chance again. He's going to come in straight away.
Yep.
What is there something for you that he needs to do that would 100% mean that they'd never take him out? Right
no.
Now?
No, no way. Yeah. No way. Because I probably felt higher than most as well on the first couple of games of his performance, where I thought
it's interesting.
Good. Yeah.
No, I mean I can't. I don't know.
But this and this is like the subtext of our whole of the whole Navy Blue Corner podcast is like these are we're voicing our opinions and our takes on things with our knowledge.
Yes.
And my God, would we love to have another layer deeper of that, which we you're going to get from the people. Inside the walls.
Yeah, I mean, let us know if you're listening, watching to this, your opinion on the Marchbank Kemp debate and what you're seeing. Is there a reason that you think they are making that selection? But at the end of the day, I'm just going to back them in because we're getting results.
Absolutely.
And maybe that is, because I know people hate that. They hate this like blind faith take, but I am just not going to get riled up in those things anymore. I just don't have the energy. And until it, like, if it happened and Marchbank cost us the game and was so far off and he was so clearly the issue, then maybe. But I think even a half-baked Marchbank won't cause us the degree of problems previously. No, but do you have any other listener questions that you wanted to throw out there this week, Lockie?
Let's go to the next.
Easy. So this is a bit of media meltdown. We'll try and make this pretty quick because we haven't had this segment in a while. And I just wanted to bring it back out there because things have been too good, Lockie.
I was going to say.
Playing good football.
The media doesn't melt down.
The social media hasn't been hot. I feel like we've been going under the radar in the actual mainstream media. There hasn't been these hot takes of Kane Corns going ballistic on anything crazy. The one this week was really from the North Melbourne supporters around the free kicks. And that was the big narrative. I saw it from multiple Nuffy supporters on Twitter saying, Carlton won this free kick game, won this game because of the free kicks. How do you play against it? Charlie and Harry are a protected species. I know that you're level-headed, and that's what this segment is about. The media meltdown is what's blown up this week that everyone's gone crazy over. Give the voice of reason. Lockie, what are your thoughts on the free kick dilemma? What are your talks about that, you know, Charlie, all his goals are only coming from free kicks, and that's why he wins the Coleman every year. We saw it happen last year. Carlton Collingwood, he got gifted all these free kicks. Did you think the free kicks were there? Expand on this topic and give that voice of reason, Lockie. You put me under the pub.
I know.
You grilled me, put me on the hot seat, all those big, spicy buzzwords. I'm going to make it for you this time around. Right. But give me the voice of reason on the free kicks.
I find this such a ridiculous topic. Such a joke of a topic. I think it's really can be good dialogue to look at plays in isolation and say, was this a free kick or not?
Yeah.
If someone wants to do that and provide reason why it wasn't a free kick, and then like that's step one.
Yeah.
Great. And then if you can then show me all the other teams' plays and show how, you know, there was no 50-50. Because I tell you what, I was going off my head at some things that I thought should have been free kicks to us that weren't. Just a ridiculous topic to me. Like, there's so many times when I'm watching Charlie and Harry and I'm like, they should be getting so many more free kicks than they do.
Yep. Oh, this is probably the hottest I may get on a topic in a while. It is just, it's what frustrates me so much, and it's never going to change. It's not going to happen. People are going to stay at their level of footy education.
Totally.
They've chosen to be there.
I like
and
that.
And that's just going to be them. They refuse and they don't want to be, they don't want to educate themselves because it is just such a smooth, small brain you have not evolved as a human being take to look at the free kick count and say, we were robbed. To look at the amount of free kicks an individual player gets and say, they shouldn't be there. This player gets protected, etc. You've raised the perfect thing. Look at each free kick. If you want to blow up on social media and have the hot take of we were absolutely hammered by the umps, they didn't look after us, show me the evidence.
Yep.
None of these clowns on social media ever want to actually show me and prove to me what went on. And that because they can't, because they're just looking at the stats and going, look at all the free kicks Carlton got. Oh, they got heaps of free kicks that led to goals. That must mean they're getting protected. I could say every that there time. Was one of those free kicks that probably shouldn't have been paid. And that was the one where Harry sort of pinned in the arm to make it look like the North player had his arms around him. And it probably wasn't there. Yeah. Now, this is, again, a bigger issue I have in commentating that I feel like every time we talk about the state of AFL commentators, it gets brought up.
Yeah. But
I was talking to my girlfriend about this, that I wish there was someone, because I would do this if I was a commentator. I would be finding one of the big umpires in the game.
Yeah.
And I would immediately be like, hey, I'm coming around to yours. I'm bringing a bottle of wine, whatever. Take me through everything. I want to know what you're looking for, what the exact rules are.
Yeah.
When you get it wrong, what you're seeing. And let's watch highlights and let's talk it out, because none of these commentators ever seem to be able to give insight ever.
No.
How many times is there a contentious free kick and they're going, well, I don't know what was paid there. I have no idea. Now, you may not agree with the decision, but you need to be able to understand why the umpire gave them. And this is the thing. There's moments with North Melbourne where it's happened to us in the past. We're too young. We're not strong enough. We're panicking and we're giving the umpire the option to pay the free kick.
Yeah, totally.
Front on contact.
Totally.
Ball comes in. If you take your eye off the football and you make any contact, that is front on contact. That is what the umpire is looking for.
Agreed.
If you take your eyes off, free kick. If you have your arms wrapped around, free kick. And there are some times where forwards, like umpires are going to get it wrong, and the forwards are very smart. And this is the difference between a Harry and Charlie and the inexperienced North key forwards.
Yeah.
They're going to make those free kicks look like free kicks that aren't there because they're smarter. They know the craft. That's where he gets the arm locked in, makes it look like the arm's wrapped around. Umpire sees it, pays it. Unlucky, probably not the free kick, but that's what the umpire is looking for.
Sure.
They're looking for these things, and it's what the commentators never do, and it's what people, the average fan doesn't know. Half the time, average fan, I don't know half the rules. There are amount of times I'm saying, why wasn't that holding the ball? Turns out the holding the ball rule has changed.
Yeah.
It has evolved to, if you get the ball, attempt to handball it, get tackled immediately, there's no incorrect disposal. It is just simply you hadn't had prior yet.
Totally.
You attempted to dispose of it, it's play on.
Yep,
so, yeah,
that's
I just have a massive gripe with people that cherry pick a statistic, refuse to look into anything, and just claim it as whatever. I know it's not going to change and it's probably pointless me ranting on it, but...
No.
Just ask, find out what the rules are and understand why free kicks are given, because I'll beat the footy and I'll see a free kick that doesn't go our way and I'll be annoyed. I'll look at the vision and go, gee, I don't think it's a free kick, but God, I can understand why, because you've given him the option, like the Lewis Young one against Richmond the other week.
Mm-hmm.
The front on contact probably wasn't enough for me to pay the decision.
Yeah.
But he turned his head.
Yep.
So totally. You're going to pay it. I don't know. Educate yourselves.
Yeah, you're right. I mean, that's just about being level-headed, like you said. Yeah. I mean, yeah. You're correct. Any game where pretty much a team wins and they had more free kicks, you go onto the social media post about the win and that's the first comment is about that. For me, it's all about the digging deeper. I remember there was a game, and I bet you this is going to spring something into your mind, a game against West Coast that we had like 3 or 4 years ago. And it was like the worst umpire game in history.
I think I blocked this out.
Okay, maybe you were. And I remember... I wish I could give a plug to whoever this was, but someone put together like a little package of these calls and non-calls on Twitter. And it was like, this is what we're after. Like, this
I do remember that game. It's sparked.
There was a Sam Petrovsky Seton holding
this,
the ball.
I feel like this was like, it might have been, it might not have been. It could have, like, the Zach Fischer kicked four potentially.
It could be I don't know.
I remember SPS playing, like, those kind of players were definitely out there. God, this immediately feels like that Guess the 22 game of last week, which I've got a, this is an incredible plug that I've whipped out of nowhere. If you haven't watched it, some of the most fun I think I've had making and recording an episode. It's on our regular YouTube channel. So if you're watching this on Blue Abroad, head over right now to the Navy Blue Corner is what it will be. Links will be in the show notes anyway. We've had a bit of fun. We've done a Guess the 22 episode because we've done a few sort of game challenges. We're tied 1-1.
Mm-hmm.
Not going to give away the winner if you haven't seen it already. Jump over there. We have to choose a game from Carlton history, an iconic game, and you have to guess the 22 that played on there. It was in a bizarre concept, absolutely so much fun, but absolutely loved it. So head over to that if you're in podcast form. It's available in podcast, available on video, easy to watch and follow on YouTube. Head over there. But
indeed,
no, being able to watch and see the changes. I'm trying to segue back to you.
Where were we a minute ago?
Someone actually putting together the highlights of a game makes it so much easier to actually envision what was wrong if you're going to say that there was something wrong. But, you know, North, don't make it so obvious. And understand the rules. Some of the 50-metre penalties they were giving away, it was like, it's soft.
Oh,
but
mate,
don't give the umpire the opportunity to pay the call of you running through the mark. I don't know. Don't do it. Simple.
And so much of it goes both ways too. Yes. I just feel like it just...
There's going to be weeks that we feel like we're copying it the wrong way.
Oh.
And, you know, because it's been a bit of a blow-up, you watch Harry and Charlie not get paid the obvious ones this week.
Yeah.
It happened last time against Collingwood. It's bound to happen. It's a cycle. Don't read too much into it.
And it feels
The free kick count doesn't have to be even.
Okay.
It doesn't have to be even.
Okay. That's almost like the main underlying thing of this.
No.
That's what people think.
They think it should be.
Free kick count should be the same because that's how it works.
But if you've closed
line, do you know what a free kick is?
If you've closed line to me 20 times and King hit everyone on the field, you've probably got a few more free kicks against you than the opposition.
A free kick is when you did something wrong.
Yes.
Like that's...
And most likely, I'd love to see a stat on this. Someone smarter than me, do a study on this. I would say the team that loses gives away more free kicks.
Yeah. Like
because they're second to the ball. They're panicking.
I understand why you're giving away free kicks to Harry and Charlie. If you were fucking manned up on them, of course you're going to be not letting them run and jump at the ball. But that's your problem.
Yeah.
You can't do it.
Bizarre. Bizarre. Let's move on and let's talk about the last thing about this game before we move over to the Hall of Fame, which I've got something spicy. Not sure if you've got anything this week.
I do.
I expect a lot. So
I need a tie, though.
I'm glad you do. That'll work. I'm glad you've got that sorted. But let's jump straight into the votes because we have a lovely medal that we need to give away at the end of the season. It is the Navy Blue Corner Blue Bagger Badge of Honor. It's a mouthful. It's tough. I'm sure we'll get used to it soon. One of the greatest names.
Yep.
3-2-1 votes. Join along. If you're in the comments here on YouTube, chuck in your 3-2-1s, listening in podcast form at Navy Blue Corner on the socials. You've changed it a little bit this year. 3 is the best on ground. 2 is someone that has performed above their expectation. And 1 is whoever you want it to go to. Lockie, your 3-2-1.
I have gone, I wrote them down on my laptop, but I'm going to remember them without it.
Well, here we go.
Harry 3.
Yep.
Undeniable. My God.
I'm going to let you talk. This is great for the visuals. Better for those who are listening because they're like, why are you even talking about this? But I'm going to grab my tie
for
the next
ahead.
Segment. You'll love this.
So 3 for Harry. Undeniable. Bog to me. Just doing everything as we've already discussed.
There's a lot of pressure on me making a tie live on video. Normally this is a pre-done tie. I feel like I'm going to get a lot of judgment on how
That's not how you do a tie.
Oh, this isn't it. What are we doing here?
Jump over to YouTube if you're listening right now, if you want to see this.
I'll quickly put up a tutorial just to figure it out. Continue. You're 3-2-1. You gave Harry 3.
Harry 3.
What did he do in this
conference? No, I don't need to go into Harry. We've already talked about him enough. 2, I've actually... I've gone Elijah with the 2.
Yeah.
I think he deserves it. I think...
Okay. I like it.
I didn't know exactly what the bar would be for him. Over 20 touches, a goal, influential play. Beautiful.
Mm. I like it. And your one?
Jacob.
Big, interesting.
God, interesting. It's good to just
we haven't talked have him about, back we haven't in spoken the about him a lot. What did you kind of make of his first game back? Obviously, you rated it highly, but give me a little bit more information. What does Jacob Riedering's, I guess, presence bring to this team? And I guess, did you expect him to come back and play to that kind of form, having missed so much footy, but a few games to start the year?
I thought you nailed it earlier, where I just feel like everyone is better in this back line when he's there.
Yeah.
And the opposite when he's subtracted. It's just an extra bit of pressure on everybody else. Like, he's just a genuine general of this back line. He's the leader of the back line for a reason. He doesn't have to be doing so many individual things for everyone else to stand taller. With that said, he still did all the things that I expect from him. Spoiling and marking and using the ball well. Mm. Just a vote, because I'm just so glad you're back.
Yeah. No, absolute general. My votes are finally different, Lockie, which I'm so happy with. Three definitely to Harry. He's going to win this goddamn medal this year, which I'm so excited for.
Yeah, he's an early favorite.
Maybe the media meltdown should have been, I think Kane Corns threw out a comment like, it's good to see the Carlton fans around him because we hated him so much last year. But I don't want to give him too much airtime because he's clearly just trying to get under our skin. But I am proud that we showed so much for him last year and we got around him so much in the preseason, and it was just, we want you to be the best and we want to be here and support you. And now he's showing the faith, playing some great football everywhere, gets three. My two goes to George Hewitt. If this was a regular 3-2-1, he's my number two anyway.
Yep.
So I've kind of sneakily done this.
That's okay.
To do that.
That's okay.
Is someone who this season you were hot on, wary, and I'm not trying to say that in a, you're wrong, you're an idiot, what were you thinking? And that's not why I'm trying to bring this up, to make you look like an idiot, although it does help every single time it happens.
Should we go back to Matt Kennedy?
There's still the jury's out. No. I told you, I'm a harsh critic of the man. No, but I think George Hewitt, there was still this, we love him, he brings so much, but the ceiling on all the other players around there, Cripps, Walsh, Chera, they're all here.
Yep.
And Hewitt's role, he was a bit more of that role player rather than that, we expect him to be here every single week for the next few years. There was, are we going to evolve? Does Kennedy take his spot? What's going to happen? And he has just been in incredible form all season.
Absolutely.
And we needed the midfield to step up. They've been lacking the last few weeks.
Agreed.
And I thought he was he's been the most consistent performer to start the year. And I think he went to another level again this week. He was everywhere, passing the ball out to everyone and making everyone's job so much easier in a way that I think Wiedering does in the defense.
Agreed.
I've just been blown away with his performances, where whenever he's around it, he seems to make something happen and make things better.
I
love what I'm seeing from George Hewitt. And my last vote goes to the skip, goes to Paddy Cripper.
Yeah, I wanted to get him in there.
I don't know how much I need to say, because I feel like it just rewinds to everything I spoke about like half an hour ago, in him going under the radar and doing those little things. He's just sublime and driving from the front. It's the leadership. It's all those qualities. I just thought he was great. And I want to give him a vote for that. But Hall of Fame, I'm very excited for this week. I've got an absolute good one. Let's roll the intro to this. It's the best thing we've got, Lockie.
Ladies and gentlemen, it is time for the ceremony of ceremonies. Straighten your tie, adjust your monocle, and raise a pinky for the navy blue corner Hall of Fame.
Yes, the Hall of Fame, one of our favorite segments from last season. Basically, every single week we get to induct something weird, wild, wacky that we have noticed in the footballing world, hopefully pertaining to Carlton. Always an interesting thing. Sometimes it's Lockie ranting at service workers.
I made sure it wasn't going
to
be that.
He hates the peasants that have to work at the football.
Not true.
Who are you inducting this week, Lockie?
I don't know how you're going to feel about this one. Okay. I thought a bit about this. It's not Carlton related. It's not service work related.
Okay.
Because that's not who I am. And that's not what I do here. It's a little bit cult related because it's the kind of thing that I think you have talked about wanting from Carlton and our supporters.
Okay.
So how do I frame this one up? I hadn't really thought too much about how I was going to frame it. Essentially, you watched this game. North never really were giving it a massive chance.
Yeah.
But my God, the bloke in the bay next to me, every single time they went through, a goal went through, he grabbed a beer, he walked down to the fence, he turned around to the people, and he gives a kanga, kanga, kanga. No. And the bay of like North Melbourne people, they're giving him the roo, roo, roos. Oh, he does it, no. He finishes his beer, and he sits down.
How does security, because security are hot on you having a beer in general.
Oh, like, no.
Were they over him at all at any stage?
Not once. No. And I think they got it. They got that North needed this this game.
Yeah.
And again, I don't know how many goals they kicked. I don't want you to look it up. But without fail, after every single goal, this man did the exact same thing. No matter how gone the game was, he was doing his part trying to galvanize the supporters.
So you're inducting this week a positive North Melbourne supporter into the Navy Blue Corner Hall of Fame.
The part that I'm inducting is I think he was – there's some part of him that I admire in terms of things were not going well for them and he was still there doing his part.
Okay, so you want that energy inducted so it can transfer to Carlton. It is what I'm getting for you.
Sure.
Yeah. No, I mean – it's incredible how much that does change things. I think last year, I hope this man was inducted. I can't recall. Potentially. There was a guy on level two that he was going bananas.
This was inducted.
He was more of the cheer squad in this game than the cheer squad. Yes. And that's not me trying to bash them. They do a great job. It was just how much this singular human being had the goal level two.
It was you, wasn't it?
No, I wish it was. I wish I could take credit. I wish I could find this man. I hope he's still doing it week in, week out because he's getting chance going and he had such a fun, lovable character and vibe about him that just made you want to, you know, start chanting with him. So I don't mind. I don't mind it. More of that for Carlton, though. My one is, it's interesting.
Okay.
I'll give an honourable mention.
Oh, here we go.
Because I think this needs to get spoken about on the podcast regardless is, I don't know if you've seen the clip. It was taken by a Carlton fan. Orazio Fantasia's lining up for goal.
Yes, sorry.
And North Melbourne supporters are giving it to him absolutely over the fence. Maybe it was this guy that you've inducted. It could be. And all of a sudden, Fantasia slots it through the middle and just gives him a couple of these, gives him the keep talking, buddy. What have you done today? Which I absolutely love. That was close to getting inducted.
Oh, maybe it should. I do love that.
But didn't happen to me. This is a story that I'm presenting. It happened to someone close, so maybe jury's out on whether that is allowed. But this is so...
Never has a segment had less rules than this.
Exactly. But this is such a... It may never happen again. That it deserves to get inducted into the Hall of Fame.
We need it on the record.
Inducted this week is Ollie Hollins.
Okay.
Which you might be thinking, what did he do this week? Did he do something incredible on the field? No, this is an off-field story. Now, this isn't like your Brisbane Lions, Las Vegas. Don't worry about that. There's no controversy in that sense here. But maybe not a good way to start this one because of what's about to come next. But my girlfriend was driving on the Eastern Freeway, right? And she's minding her own business, you know, driving along, peak hour, and all of a sudden, hooligan comes up on the inside and cuts her off, right?
Unbelievable.
And she's like, oh, what is this guy? No space. What is this idiot doing on the road, right? And he eventually changes lanes and it's like, why did you even need to cut me off? You've changed lanes across and she's driving and does that thing I think we all do where when someone does something a bit silly on the road, you go, well, I've got to have a look at this idiot. Sure. I've got to see who...
Wow.
Who possibly could have had that thought cross their brain as she turns. You'll never guess who was in the car. It was Ollie Hollins. And so she's doing like the... You're kidding me. She's probably ready around to put the window down, give this guy the bird and let him know it's Ollie Hollins. And he looks...
Wow.
And notices something. He obviously might get this a lot because he looks over and just gives the hello, just gives a bit of a wave back. So Ollie Hollins has to go into the Hall of Fame for not only cutting someone off the roads. We don't agree with that. We don't agree with that. But regardless, notices someone's having a look at him and just gives him a nice little cheerful wave.
Wow. So
just because I don't think that'll ever happen, a Carlton player causing a bit of chaos live on the Eastern Freeway, Ollie Hollins, you're inducted into the Hall of Fame.
He's probably a red people at a young Ollie, knowing his age. So maybe he's just
maybe he was the only one driving and he needed, you know, maybe he was overloaded.
Sure.
Who knows? Is he on P still? Who knows? Maybe he needs more lessons, is what needs to be inducted in the Hall of Fame. Get another driver there to help him because you can't be cutting people off, Ollie. What are you doing?
The one thing I'll say is I'm glad it was your girlfriend and not you because I've been in the cars
off the road and Ollie Holmes would be playing this week.
you don't mind a cheeky road rage every now and then. So I feel like you could have ran him off the road and put him into the ditch on the Eastern Freeway, got out of the car to exchange info and
isn't it such an interesting thing where you could be so ready to absolutely launch into a tirade.
Yep.
And then you see who it is and all of a sudden you're like, you know what? Keep cutting me off. Your road, Ollie. Go for it. So very interesting from Ollie.
That's a good one.
He has been inducted this week. That is the Hall of Fame. If you've got anything weird, wild that you saw this week, drop it in the comments. I'm keen to know what you have seen. But Lockie, we've been going for a while. It's been a big episode, but we've got one last segment to go. It is, of course, the blueprint to victory.
Good pun.
Big, big game coming up. We've had our three wins. Some people have said, who have we played? Brisbane are rubbish.
Brisbane and Brisbane, Richmond, that's easy.
Who are they?
They always lose up there.
Doesn't matter. The Richmond have just beaten another, you know, premiership fancy in Sydney. They're past it. North Melbourne are dog shit. We love a drive-by. We're playing Fremantle, another team that's undefeated. What do you want to see this week?
I want to go back and see where we had them in our preseason.
It was low. I think I said they might potentially be one of those teams that don't finish on the bottom, but I can see them really falling down the ladder.
I'm going to put my hand up and say I didn't really like. I see more reason for them to be good than bad with the players they have. We've got some good players on this team.
I feel like there's a butt coming here.
No, there isn't. Like I would have been shocked if they like there was people saying bottom four.
Yes,
that would have been crazy to me. And I guess it's still possible. Mm-hmm. Like it's bloody round.
We were bottom four at some stage and made a prelim.
I remember that. What was your question? I've already lost it.
What do you want to see from
the
game?
What do I want to see?
Or you can just give me your feelings because I feel like that's where you are at this stage, trying to tell me about Freo. I felt like we turned into a doctor's podcast.
It's a bit of a feelings thing.
Steve Hope.
I'm thinking back to like our game against them last year.
Yeah.
Absolutely put them away over there.
Yeah. Now we're in Adelaide, which feels
it's interesting.
Bizarre.
It's interesting with Gather Round. We have some gather around demons to exercise. That's part of it.
We have not won at Adelaide Oval for how many years now?
Oh, God. That takes me back to when I went there last time and it was absolutely horrible. How do you feel about us getting them in gather round? Like,
Personally, I'm spewing because I would probably be going over to it in WA.
Yeah.
But I would probably much prefer to have them in Adelaide than them in Perth right now. Particularly the way they're playing. And I'm happy we don't have an Adelaide or Port Adelaide, even though Adelaide are playing well, good footy at the moment. It's just, I'm happy to not have that over there.
Oh, imagine if they made that a thing. Imagine if they were like, this is going to be a thing. Adelaide can't.
I'm glad we made that not happen with our performance. But it's an interesting one. I think it gives us the best chance to get that hoodoo of not winning at Adelaide Oval. There's an asterisk on it, but it helps. I mean, they're in good form at the moment. They're playing some really good football. They're really defensively sound, which is, for me, going to be that big, interesting point considering how good our forward line is with Charlie and Harry right now. And then their other strength is really their midfield, which is meant to be our strength, has been a bit down. We've got that form back probably against North to an extent this time. Those are our two strengths, our forward line and our midfield. How do we measure up against them? That's going to be the test. We haven't probably put in a four-quarter perfect performance apart from the North game, but it is North Melbourne. So I'm really interested to see the test and what there's question marks on us still. If we go ahead and beat Fremantle quite easy, people are going to say, okay, Carlton are genuinely really, really good and probably top four this year. Struggle or lose, and they're going to still have the question marks. So my real what do you want to see this week is just continue that solid performance. And it's maybe really stupid, but like you mentioned it in this game against North where every single player contributed. That's what I want to see again. I don't want to be going to the end of this game and saying, oh, there's a problem in this area in the forward line or oh, Kempe, this is why Marchbank was in over him. Yeah. I just want every single part of that ground to be up and about, midfield back on stoppages and contested ball, everything flowing beautifully. Do you have a major thing that you're wanting to see from the game this week?
Oh, I'll just start by saying, I mean, Vossi said in his presser, like, what we're trying to do is be a consistent home and away team, and that can only come with time. Yeah. Like, we can only prove that by now going in each week and doing that. I don't know. The first thing my mind goes to is some matchup things, like how we spoke about with North last week. Like, obviously, Darcy's not playing. Jackson is the main ruck.
He's playing quite well.
He is. But is that an opportunity for... like, is this the kind of week that Pitt would come in and do a thing like that? Will we try and, I don't know, overrun him in that way? I don't know. I guess I'm thinking of these kind of tactical things because I feel so good about, I don't know, the game plan and the way that we're doing, you know, scoring in different ways and defending really well. Like, it's those kind of tactical things. Like, how can we best match up against Freo? And I guess with Freo again, like, I've just confirmed on my phone because even though I've seen all these games, they beat North, not actually super convincingly. Like, North was on top for a lot of this game. Adelaide kicked 4 goals or something on the weekend. They're just bad
at the moment.
And Brisbane obviously have some...
not over there. They didn't have to go and beat Brisbane in Brisbane before. That was shit.
But they have the Vegas curse, remember, as well. True. Brisbane are... so I'm definitely not convinced that they're amazing opposition yet, but I'm thinking just about the tactical things. Like, do we need to change anything from last week?
And that's the interesting thing with the team selection. I mean, drop your team selection and all your changes in the comments right now on YouTube. Please. Hit us up at Navy Blue Corner, because that's always the fun discussion, talking about the upcoming game. And I know I was quite big on, let's see what Pitt and Nett's like. By all accounts, I read the little VFL match review and it sounded like Pitt was one of the better players out there. I don't know who the opposition ruckman was. I can't imagine they were that good if you're the backup North Melbourne ruckman at this stage. They don't have a lot of depth in that position. I don't think it is. I think if Darcy was playing, then I'd understand it a lot more. But I called for it against North as I want to see it. We played probably the best ruck game I've seen without it. I'm happy to keep going the way things are. And my real only changes this week is I'm bringing in, obviously, Kemp for Marchbank.
Yep.
I'm not sure if I would have made that change if Marchbank didn't get injured for the sake of don't make too many changes.
Same.
Weirdly.
Same.
Apart from that, we've spoken about small forwards. I think I want to see Motlop in over Durden. I know he kicked those goals. It feels stiff. But he only had the 4 disposals. And I think your output you're going to get from a Motlop is higher. And I do just want to see Motlop. I'm excited for him. I love him as a player and what he can bring. I still think he's our best small forward.
Yep.
So I want him in the team. And
fair enough.
I am going to keep Fantasia as the sub, which is probably a bit controversial for the way we tend to preface the sub and wanting a game changer style player.
I like it.
But I didn't mind the way we used it, and I liked his impact. And while he is probably still getting a bit of touch, a bit of match fitness, I kind of like it.
Yeah.
I think he can be a bit more of a connector and play slightly higher up the ground than you imagine a Fantasia can.
100%.
And, yeah, I'm keeping always in that team in form for sure.
Yeah.
What are your
choices? No, I agree. I think I said on last week's podcast that I'd be happy to see Fantasia at the sub. I think he's different in terms of impact to the smalls. Yeah, I'm very aligned with you. Do we have an update on Cunningham? Like,
I didn't see anything this week. I'm not sure. We're recording just again behind the curtain.
Yeah.
Monday night. So this whole podcast could be completely outdated. It'd be rubbish by the time you're listening to it, because there could be huge breaking news that we need to account for. But it felt weird. It was that traditional, there's your mystery injury of the week.
Yeah.
It wasn't spoken about at all. And now Cunningham injured.
Don't even know
not
what
playing.
Body
I
part
think
it was.
Yeah, who knows everything with Cunners. Maybe it was just, maybe that's the, I'm not going to say that's the scandal that's been blowing up recently as far as an injury, but more just we don't want to say he's dropped, or we'll just say injured.
Oh, sure.
I don't know.
Yeah, okay. Well, yeah, so my thinking was...
I don't think he played the VFL game. Sorry to interject.
No, well, that would make sense. Yeah. That would be very weird if they did that.
Injured is playing this week.
For me, I wouldn't be making the Motlop move. I personally would get Fantasia in
over Durden.
Yeah. And I'd like to have Cunningham as a sub. That's what I would do if he was fit.
If not, who else would you throw into that role?
It's so hard because I don't like the idea of Motlop, Durden, or Owies as the sub.
Me either.
I don't think it works. Boring.
And I agree with you just to touch on that last point of if I'm putting Fantasia, Durden currently hierarchy, Fantasia's ahead.
Yeah, yeah, yeah. But I could also, I'm also so fine with you saying that Motlop is top of the hierarchy because for Carlton, he definitely has been. But I don't know if there's other good sub choices. If Cunningham's not fit and you don't want a small forward.
Is there a Chin Cotter shout? Because he played midfield in the VFL and apparently when he got thrown into there was really, really impressive. Is he a guy that you think could play multiple roles now? And this is a big shout that I've just genuinely thought of right now. There is no preemptive thought on this.
This will be good.
I potentially see a, God, it's so offensive, an Aldi Sam Doherty role for a Chin Cotter in the sense of, was a halfback. Maybe he can get thrown into the midfield. Do you throw him on the wing for a second? Do you throw him on the half forward? It's insulting. And I'll happily say that. Again, this is incredibly off the cuff. But is he someone that can maybe be a bit of a plug-and-play-esque player? Doesn't necessarily need to be in the ones right now.
Sure,
but as a depth option everywhere, if he plays as well as he believed
totally.
All accounts did in the midfield in the twos this week.
Well, I'm trying to think if we ever saw him do anything but that role in the
he's
ones.
He's got a decent kick on him. He's aggressive. I don't mind it.
Yeah, no, I'm open to that, of course. Maybe him as the sub is the right way to test that out. Some tired legs everywhere else.
Does that move someone else higher up the ground?
Maybe it does. There's something in that, but or maybe this is the kind of, I don't know. But we spoke a bit about Cottrell earlier. Does a game with him as the sub, is that something? I don't know. The sub is a very weird, you know, a very weird strategic thing to think about.
No, I'm literally currently trying to look through the squad to see if there's a player that I've potentially missed. And yeah, I don't like the
Cowan
idea of
is not
Moyer
playing.
As the sub. Billy Wilson doesn't seem ready just yet. Bins neither. Yeah, I think. For me,
Kemp, like a
Fantasia
tall,
makes the most sense right now. If you're bringing in a Motlop,
I'd be very fine with those changes.
Maybe Motlop's a sub. Maybe it's just as simple as that. I know we don't love it, but is he just at some stage with the players that we have currently rotating through this squad with a Cunningham injured, let's say he's not available, is it just a case of best available becomes the 23?
I guess so, which is so.
Yeah.
Up for debate.
It's tough.
Anyway.
I don't know. I can't settle it. Let us know who you think should be the sub and should be the changes this week. I do have one last thing I basically want to touch on, which is about, we did this a little bit last year, talking about the fixture because we're not 0-3. We're 3-0 at the moment. I'm so used to us being garbage. It's clearly
it's
a
nice
Freudian slip with that. Undefeated as things stand. We've probably all expected us to be 2-1. We expected the Brisbane loss. So we're ahead of the ledger right now, which is great. Ahead of the Heat. Now, we are coming up against Fremantle in Adelaide. Adelaide in Melbourne.
Adelaide in Fremantle.
GWS again at home. They're three tougher assignments. Two teams that are playing really well. One team that has caused us trouble in the past.
Yeah.
Close to being that sort of top eight team. You assume they're going to be a tougher challenge than maybe a North Melbourne. What are you expecting? Put you on the spot. A win-loss ratio. What's the expected kind of benchmark for the next three games that once these are concluded, we can go, okay, this is what we expected. This is either better or worse, and then reassess. Because now that we've started, we've finished with the bye, we're starting this big run before the mid-season bye, we kind of got to prove that we are that top four team. And for me, I think we've really got to be beating these contending teams around us.
I agree. I mean, right now, I don't know, it's maybe I've got like, I'm still haunted by the past because my default is to say that I would take 2-1 right now from this three. Looking at that, these three teams, and also stepping back and saying, well, if we looked at the first six games at the start of the season, would we have taken 5 wins? To which I definitely would have said yes.
Yes.
As the reason I said it, as I went to say it, I'm like, is that a loser mentality to be thinking like that against these guys?
I don't think it is.
I think we're better than
I think
all these teams.
I think the rational thought is It's not the most ideal. Obviously, the most ideal is three. But
yeah,
if you, at the end of this, cop 2-1, you're going to be like, that's fine. That is absolutely fine. You're going to lose some games here or there. You're going to have off weeks. You're probably going to lose against someone you expect to really beat. That is just the nature of footy.
Yeah.
Right now, if I'm looking at those three teams, Frio, I expect to be better than them.
Absolutely.
We're playing on neutral venue, so let's win. Adelaide, they're not in great form, and it's in Melbourne. That's a win.
No,
those two are pretty much like almost non-negotiables for me. And then GWS is going to be tough, but we're playing them in Melbourne.
Mm.
And if we're playing them over there, I'd say 2-1. Benchmark for me is 3-0.
Yep.
We should continue this because we can.
We really should.
And we should be favourites heading into all three of these games.
I agree. I think we're better than all three of these teams, and we should be. The reason I'm saying I'd take 2-1 is because if we are sitting here at 4-2, that means that one of those games is a bit of a disaster.
You drop two, it's awful.
We would be...
It's clearly not the end of the world, and you keep building off that. We know better than anyone.
But we'd be fuming on here if we'd lose either of the next two.
Yes. So I guess if you're losing one of those games, is it the GWS one for you, or is it the Frio game that you're seeing as the more likely to drop a point?
Oh, no, GWS is definitely more likely. But I think if I could pick one of these to lose, it would be this one this week, I think. Because I think the gather round, you know, it just adds a whole
weird
thing to it. Like, I'd rather be beating a team like GWS to have that on them for this season.
No, I don't mind.
I guess.
Yeah. I think my favorite and most exciting part about this is it feels like we haven't learned a ridiculous amount about us just yet because of some of the opposition we've played. Brisbane, who knows? Richmond, not sure either. We know North aren't amazing. These are teams that are, you know, Frio and GWS are in form, and they're teams that are higher in the ladder. If we, you know, match up against these teams, beat them, we lose to them, we're going to get a better judge, a better sample size about what we are, about how we play. Are we better in the midfield now? Are we on top of the contested side of things that was dipping while we figured out that the turnover game was absolutely number one in the AFL? Going to be interesting. And I just can't wait. I think
it's exciting
such
time.
A fun thing for us right now. And I mean, I almost completely forgot to talk about this in the North game, but it was interesting watching a game of footy that was such an easy win. It's stupid to say, but I almost got bored a little bit watching it because it was like, it's so easy. I'm not used to this.
Mm.
And because I probably wasn't at the contest, it maybe didn't hold as much emotion. It was a little bit like, okay, we've clearly won. Next, like, give me the next week, and now we're here. So I'm just absolutely pumped to be playing these games that maybe mean a little bit more if we do win them. So,
oh god,
mate, I'm absolutely pumped.
I'm a long way away from that, I can tell you. I remember it being in Europe last year and watching, like, getting up at like 5 a.m. to watch the West Coast win, you know, the Port win, the Freo win, all very easy games. I was gripped down to the last second. I was like, oh my god, I cannot believe that we're winning. So I'll be a long time, I think, before I am bored with a win. Yeah. But
I am
no. We all heard you.
I'm so.
You wish it was closer, is what you're.
Oh, I go back to those six games in a row where it was incredibly tight. No, it's just different. It's something I haven't experienced before, and I like that. I'm bored by us winning. That's a good sign.
It means
we're a good footy team. But that is going to wrap this episode up. In an absolute belter. We'll be back next week to review the Frio game, talk about all the biggest stories that have come through the week, and obviously build up the next game against Adelaide as well. It's been an absolute pleasure. Head over to the Navy Blue Corner YouTube channel and catch our Guess the 22 challenge. See who came out on top, because we won't be doing one of those for potentially quite a while. So the winner of that will get to hold the bragging rights, and we'll be obviously holding that over the other person, whoever it is, for a while. So do that. If you're on Blue Abroad YouTube channel right now, like and subscribe. There's so much incredible Carlton content right now. You don't want to miss it. And if you're listening in podcast form, follow so you don't miss an episode. At Navy Blue Corner is the socials. There's all the plugs. Up the bloody baggers. See you guys next time.